Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1001. This is your host, Danny. And also joining me is...
It's Paris.
Yes, and we're live here in San Francisco, man. We got invited to check out the new expansion of the Division 2 called Warlords of New York. Woo! We're back, baby.
We're going back.
The crazy part, when we originally got this invitation, I thought it was going to be like episode 3. I had no idea.
But what did I say? When we saw the invitation, I said, but look what it's also saying. It said, and the future of the Division 2.
In the future, yes, yes. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about all that. And also later on in the episode, you can listen to our interview with the dev team that worked on this project, man. So really exciting times, man. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes, and make sure to share it. You can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Also, be part of our conversation, man. Fan mail, send your questions and feedback. And this is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, I know you posted a tweet a few minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people got the hint, some people didn't.
Yeah.
What was the tweet, the exact tweet that you posted? Because right, I think it's very important
I'm
going to
pull up the exact tweet so you can see. So I tweeted out earlier, I said, remember when the Taken King expansion completely overhauled Destiny after year one? Mm. Those were good times.
Yes.
And some people knew what the hell I meant. Some people slid up a DM. Some people were just like, yeah, Destiny. Yeah, I remember. Great.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Why was it important for you to tweet that but not say too much?
Well, because we're under embargo, number one. Why I wasn't going to say anything. But obviously, now that the cat's out of the bag and people know what we're talking about, if you're a fan of the Division and you liked the way that the Division 2 started, but got maybe disappointed over the year because, hey, the lack of things to go do, chase, things like that, gear, why am I going to the Dark Zone? All the above, all the complaints that we've had over the past year.
Yeah.
This is massive first major step to fixing that with this expansion with Warlords of New York, because not only are we going to Manhattan, we're getting 4 new zones to play in, we're getting 5 new missions, 8 side missions, new raids coming. They're overhauling, they're kind of simplifying the RPG system to just make it more easier. And like the mechanics of it are still there, but it's kind of easier to comprehend now. So it's going to make people easier to make builds. Build diversity will be something that you're going to want to do now. Mm-hmm. They're adding more loot into the game, brand sets, weapons, exotics, all this kind of stuff. The things that we were saying we wanted them to fix, the feedback we've been given the past year, that's what this expansion is going to be. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah, and how important was it for them to go back to New York City?
It's important for people that obviously remembered the Division 1 that were playing it back then. So there's going to be that nostalgia factor, because now we're bringing – basically we're getting new enemies that are coming in. We're getting – the cleaners are coming back, but they're updated from what they were in the Division 1, because I one of the – factions we kept running into, they had those new shields that they were using.
And you even said it too, like, what's up with these shields, man? Yeah. Yeah, it's no joke.
It was kind of like in Destiny. Oh my God, not Destiny, on Halo.
Halo.
Not the grunts, the other ones. Oh my God, I'm blanking on the name. But anyways, the ones that have the energy shield, but they got the little notch right there that if you're accurate and you can shoot their air, you can do damage. It's very similar to that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good, man. The mission that we played had some good length to it. If you've played like episode 2, the Pentagon, it was very similar to that in length. So that was good for one mission. It had some difficulty to it. And, you know, that's the other thing they're bringing. We're going to have legendary difficulties, things like this that are going to be coming into it. And I know we'll get to the other stuff later, but just the base open world that they're putting with New York alongside Washington, D.C. now, there's just going to be a lot of things to do. You know, there's going to be, I think they said eight control points are coming in to Manhattan as well. There's just going to be a lot of stuff. So yeah, it's good.
I think the content is going to be there, man.
Yeah.
For this. So now we had a blast doing we did one of the main missions and then the side missions. For some strange reason, we were stuck in the side mission. It was challenging.
Yeah. We unfortunately couldn't capture the side mission, so you can't see what we did. But that side mission actually kicked our ass at the end because we were expecting, it's a side mission. We'll just blow through it. But No. They were sending the cavalry at us at the end. We're like, oh, crap. So we kept dying. But until we actually sat down and thought about what we were doing, and then we cleared it. But that's good because we weren't just mindlessly jumping into something and just shooting all the enemies and it was easy and done. We had to actually come up with a strategy to be able to get past it. So it was good.
Yeah, one of the things that we noticed that we were like screaming at each other, like the part when the weather completely changed.
Oh my god! Yes.
During the boss battle,
yes,
we couldn't even see where the boss was located at, man. So we had to I think it was the perfect level, perfect timing with the weather. I don't know if it's because the timing or it's part of the boss battle. I'm not sure. We'll figure out once the game comes out. But it felt like the timing was perfect because, again, communication is key, and it felt like a puzzle. So I was depending on you because we were
Do the call outs.
Yeah. So the location, they had Alpha, Bravo, Fire.
Yeah. It was Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Echo, Foxtrot.
Yeah. So
we had to call it out.
So we had to call it out because the boss, his special skill was there was a lot of decoys.
Yeah.
And we had to figure out which one was the real one. So after a while, he was getting weaker and weaker, but it took us a while to actually complete it. Like, I like that.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it took us longer because it was only two players. Imagine with four players.
You're calling. You'd have someone strategically at each point for the decoy to call out. Okay, yeah. I got Alpha. Nope, it's not him. I got you. We called out super fast and be able to take him down.
So two things I want to mention that I think is super important. The first one, last year, when we discovered about the end game for the first time, that Black Tusk, you basically start the game all over again with the new enemies, right? You said the game reminded you of like Link to the Past, Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there was that one moment that we were doing an interview with the developers, and you said that moment when we killed that boss and we went and got his skill, it reminded you of Mega Man.
Yes.
And a lot of them was smiling.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe they got inspirations from those old school games and added to the Division. So it was pretty cool that you brought that up, man. So even PR was taking notes. Like, they were like, taking notes.
Yeah, because that was literally the first thing I thought of because what Danny's explaining is the boss that we fought when he's doing the decoy, basically his skill was to do the decoy. So when you kill him, he literally drops his skill. You get to pick it up. Now we have that decoy skill. So there's going to be four other rogue agent lieutenants that we're going to get their skill. And then at the end, it's Aaron Keener is going to be obviously the ultimate thing for the story-wise, you know, with Warlords of New York. But we get those four skills and we get to attack whichever lieutenant we want in any order we want. So again, very similar to Mega Man. You're not following a linear path on that. So yeah, I do. But that's where gaming, you know, even games from 30 years ago can inspire you for the games that you make today. Because look at that simple mechanic that you take from a game like Mega Man that came out in the 80s, and you're putting it on a game like Division 2 now here in 2020.
Yeah. And another moment that we were super excited, that we were clapping, was when they started talking about the seasons. And they mentioned that every 3 months there will be a new season. Of course, loot. There's like a little mini campaign during the season. Plus you could get like a battle pass. And I think they mentioned a little quick thing about leagues and so on.
Yeah.
But the part that I was clapping and saying, yes, global events. It's coming back.
Yeah.
The other day I went to the Division 1, you know, because it was still on Game Pass. So it was a lot of people playing that game. And they were still adding global events in that game. So I'm like thinking, damn, why didn't they add that in the new game? Because that will make me go back and do this with my friends or just solo, trying to complete the global event so I could get, you know, these loot that will drop only during that time. So I got super excited about that. Now, Paris, now that they're mentioning about seasons, now there's going to be more reasons to go back every time. There's going to be new stuff every single time. Before, that it wasn't there. So I was going back to Division II just to do daily challenges. But once I was done, I'm like, all right, you know.
Now, I like it in concept, but I'm going to give you something to pause on.
Okay.
Because I have to take in practice right now what's going on with Destiny 2.
Okay.
They adopted the Battle Pass. They're doing seasons. We're in the second season of that right now, and everyone's looking around like, well, what the hell are we going to do? Like, there's nothing to do. There's no incentive to go play. So hopefully they're looking at this for the Division 2, and they don't repeat what Bungie's currently doing right now, because it did kind of take some of the steam out of the initial launch from what they did. So obviously coming here with the Division 2 expansion, I'm sure we're all going to jump in day one. It's going to be great and all that. But once we start, all right, now we're in month three, month four, we're into the season. All right, what's this mini campaign going to look like? What are the global events going to look like that's going to keep me? Like I even said in an interview, what is driving me to the login every day, every week, every month? That's the thing they got to tackle. So the elephant in the room that we did not talk about in the interview, which, you know, obviously over here over the next couple of weeks till it comes out, is going to be a topic, is it's a $30 expansion. Of course, we knew it was going to be a paid expansion. We still, as of this recording, don't have confirmation on that raid. Is the raid a part of the paid expansion, or is it available to everyone? I am of the assertion that it needs to be available to everyone, because it was supposed to be a part of year one in episode two, which was free to everyone.
And it got delayed.
So this raid should not be a part of the paid expansion. We will see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that, again, just a nitpick on a concern. Is episode three and what we've seen so far enough to get people to want to go pick up the expansion to go play Warlords of New York? I don't know yet, because obviously episode three is not out yet and we've not played it as of this recording, but they still got a lot to sell.
Yeah,
people are, sure, to get people to come back to actually spend $30 to play this content. Now, I do like the fact that they've made it that people that are new to the Division 2 that have never played it, they can just jump right into the expansion. They don't have to grind all of Washington, D.C. to actually experience the new content now. But once they're done with the new content, if they want to go back to Washington, D.C., they can do that too. So, you know, and, you know, I remember I asked her about strongholds and all that. She didn't want to really get into that, yeah, you know, right away, which kind of leans to the fact that we can expect some kind of stronghold stuff, which maybe that's part of the battle pass stuff. Maybe that's a part of the seasons. We get like a new stronghold in a certain district or something, and we got to go tackle that. So we'll see. Plus the Black Tusk as well. They're going to play a part in this too.
Yeah, we asked about that, and they were like, little pause. They don't want to say much,
right,
which is fine.
It's fine. This is the debut of it. Yeah. There's time.
So this type of preview, it's good to not say much.
Right.
Let us discover and everybody else discover once we start playing the game.
Yeah.
So one thing that I think we should bring up is, yes, about the raid. If they have this available for everyone, I think it will be a perfect way for people to, let's say it's in New York, the raid, let's make believe, and you get like a small taste of New York City with this free raid for an incentive to want to go.
Exactly.
So like, hey, you want to know, you want to check out more of New York City, even Coney Island with episode three and the other level also in New York City. That will be a way, come to New York City, buy this expansion, so you can continue your adventure here in New York City. I think that will be a great way for Massive to promote the expansion.
Now, one thing I'm kicking myself in the butt about is that I did not ask.
Yeah.
Is, again, along the lines of this raid, there's two difficulty levels. There's level 30 and there's level 40. Because remember, the level cap's going up to 40 now. But there's also going to be a level 30 raid. So it sounds like they're creating something that everyone can jump in and play, and it's not going to be the extreme difficult, which I assume the rewards are obviously going to be less at level 30 than what they'll be at level 40. But that's good, because you're going to get more people to be able to jump in and participate in a raid. So, again, I truly hope this raid is not a part of the paid expansion, because I think, just like you said, it could be a great selling point to get people to want to continue to play the content moving forward. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, speaking of the difficulty levels and all that, your SHD. Hold on. I have my notes.
This
is why I'm kicking myself in the butt, because it's like you get limited time in these interviews and you're trying to make sure you get everything in and you always wind up forgetting something.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is it? Yeah, the new raid is called the Foundry. Global events return. Yeah, I didn't put it in here specifically, but they're adding in basically where once you hit the level 40 cap, there's still going to be that SHD that is an infinite level that you continue to grind up as well. So that's another good thing.
Now, my question to you, let's go with what if?
Mm-hmm.
What if this raid is only for the expansion?
I think it's a mistake. I'll be the first one to jump out on Twitter and say that. Yeah, I go, that's a mistake.
Okay, so you say it's a mistake. I mean, what else they could do? Like, let's say it's only for the expansion. Then what? That, I mean, we all going to play whoever gets the expansion.
Yeah, who gets the expansion.
But here's the problem with that, Paris. Like, originally, that was never announced publicly.
Yes, it was.
But wait. It was because Julian
talked on our podcast. You are wrong, and this is why I keep trying to tell you. Okay. They said a raid was coming in episode 2.
No, that, yes. The game,
and this is my point.
Yeah.
So, no, it was publicly announced. Anyone that bought the Division 2 in year 1, it was a public announcement that there was going to be a second raid as a part of year 1. It got delayed because it wasn't up to snuff, which, hey, that's fine. All right, you delayed it. I don't care that you delayed it into the second year of the Division 2. It should still be free to all the year 1 owners because I spent my $60 in year 1 expecting to have that raid.
Now, you watched that moment watching the state of the game, right? When they delayed, they announced it, they got delayed. They didn't say anything else after that? Did they say like, don't worry, it's coming. It's going to come soon or...
Yeah,
they were not allowed to say that about the expansion, so maybe there is hope that
there was that original delay in October, and then they talked about it again here, I think either in December or the beginning of January, that, hey, it's basically, Yannick, was that it's still TBD because they wanted to make it the best raid they can, so they're still working on it. Mm-hmm. That's fair. At no point did they were like, well, it's probably going to get delayed until the paid expansion. To me, that doesn't matter anyways.
I think it should have it available.
I don't know. We're wasting too much time on it. But
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see what they officially announce. Because I asked before we left, and they said, PR said they'd get back to me on that as far as the official announcement on what they're going to do.
Now, during our interview, I asked them, okay, we're talking a lot about New York, but what about Washington, D.C.? Are we going to see these factions in Washington, D.C.? Like, is it going to be – what are the changes?
Yeah.
You know, am I going to just stay in New York City – to see this, to battle these factions, like how that's going to work. And Black Stars, like.
Well, see, I was going to say, what I think is the DC factions stay in DC, the New York factions stay in New York. Black Tusk will go across both, which just makes sense.
I can see that.
Because remember, she even indicated there's a story element with the Black Tusk in New York. So it makes sense with Keener and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah. Anything else from all of this, like Dark Zone?
Yeah, brought up the Dark Zone. They're going to give us more incentive to want to go in there. There's going to be, like, all the loot's going to be contaminated now, so you got to extract everything you get out of there, which is good. Mm-hmm. They're going to put more Dark Zone-specific items in there, so I have to go into Dark Zone if I want this particular weapon or particular brand set or whatever the case may be. So that's good. My only disappointment is it's still 12 players. And I know, they made the changes for the matchmaking. So that it'll constantly stay with 12 people in the zone that you're in.
Yeah.
But I just think that ultimately, looking back a year, it was a design flaw. Remember, we were concerned at Red Storm back in December 2018 when we first announced all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we've seen it play out over the year, yeah, I think it was a mistake. I think it was a mistake to break it up into three and to have 12-player zones. I think the Dark Zone should be one big zone like it was in New York. 24 players, which that was what I was hoping. I was hoping they were going to say, we're bringing that Dark Zone back or something like that. But unfortunately, they didn't.
Yeah. Anything else that got you just excited overall with the expansion from the Division 2?
Going to New York is cool. It's not winter anymore. So, like you said, we saw the weather effects of, from that. So let's see how that plays off. And we still don't know if that weather effect we saw with the boss was all the time. Or is that just because that was a random weather effect that just so happened to happen when we're fighting? We don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I hope it's random.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool. I think by playing it, you never know if it's going to pop up or not. Yeah. So it was good. Really, really good, man. I don't know what else. I love the location. I can't wait for us to go underground, the subway, to do like some missions through there.
So now we're playing an interview as a part of this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because again, that's why I'm trying to bring up the stuff that I know we missed. Like you even hear me at the very end. I go, I didn't even get a chance to ask about PvP. So I did ask them after about PvP, and there aren't going to be any new maps or anything or new modes day one of the expansion. They kind of want to see how these builds and everything plays out first before they start trying to reintroduce PvP. So I would say to anyone that's interested in a Division 2, look, PvP is broken. We all know it. It's going to continue to be broken then. I mean, just don't expect to be playing this for PvP anytime soon. Hopefully over the next calendar year, they can get that part resolved first, but they want to make sure they get the PvE part right first, which I agree with. Let's get this right first. Let's get the Dark Zone right first. Then we'll worry about PvP.
Yeah. Because honestly, I really don't care much about multiplayer.
But that's the point. No, you because there's no reason for you to care about it. You know?
Yeah, but I think I'm excited because, of course, it's New York City. I love the change. Because remember the first game, New York City, the streets were really smaller compared to the Division 2. Now it's like wide open. You know, it's a lot of places you could walk around. And that area, downtown area, is perfect for this game, man. You know, and I know in the beginning they mentioned about a hurricane completely destroyed the city. Because if I used to live in Miami, so New York is not built for a hurricane, like a weather hurricane like that. You know, so it could be a Category 1, and it will still mess up New York City. You know, so I like that concept, love the idea. Yes, it's spring. You're gonna see a lot of like grass, trees, like in certain areas of the city. Was there anything that you discovered while running around before we started our mission?
Because we weren't able to capture the stuff. So at the very beginning, I had everyone solo, and we just kind of got to walk around the city. So I found like the crash drone site. I found one of those. I found a contaminated area. I went underground into the subway. I was messing around in there for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there's some little secrets and things that we'll probably discover going around the open world as well. So cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited because, like I've always said, that open world of the Division 2 Washington, D.C. is fantastic. It just so to now get New York integrated back into it as well, that's just more to explore around and more to just go walk off in a certain direction and see what you can find kind of stuff. So it's going to be good, man.
Yeah. And one thing I forgot to mention, too, I forgot to ask this question, but, you know, with the first game, it had episode 1, 2, and 3. Are we going to see something like that in the future? For this expansion, have like an episode 1, maybe have like...
I don't think so, because this is where the battle pass and the seasons come in. You're going to have seasons now. So they're going to be adding content throughout the year. So there's going to be like a set, all right, episode 1, we're going to here or whatever. So yeah, I don't think that specifically. I think, and again, it kind of to adopt the what Destiny's doing, I think they'll just have seasons throughout the year. And then once we get to March 2021, as an example, then there'll be a new expansion. All right, seasoned, on and on. Mm-hmm. Then Division 3.
Yeah. So now with this expansion coming out, and you tell me with Destiny, how many raids do you think we will see in the future just with this expansion? Like the, let's say, Taken King. Was there more than one raid that they created for that, for the expansion?
No. Because the next raid we got was Wrath of the Machine, so that was the next expansion, which was Rise of Iron. Destiny 2, they tried to have like the multiple raids within a year, and they're okay, but they were never, you know, as impactful as when they were doing one a year. I honestly think the Division would be better off doing one raid a year, personally, and just make it the biggest, best kick-ass raid it can possibly be.
What I like is episode 3 comes out now the end of the month, and a couple weeks after that,
it's
the expansion.
It's basically episode 3 is like a prelude into the expansion, which is good. It's good.
Really, really good. And, you know, we were even talking about this the other night. We were like, man, Coney Island, I think we're going back to New York. So that's good. Really good. So the expansion comes out March what?
March 3rd.
March 3rd. So episode 3 is February...
Is it? 10th, the 11th, something like that. It was. Yeah. I have it on there, but it's around there because
It's back to back, basically.
Yeah. Because I think as this embargo, it's the 12th, February 12th to the year one pass holders.
Early access,
and then the 19th to everyone.
Everyone.
That's what episode 3 is. Cool. Yep.
So we're going to play the interview right now, And once you come back, our final thoughts. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, this is Paris. We're here in San Francisco. I'm with Danny.
Yes.
And we just got a chance to see some new content from The Division 2. So we actually have a multitude of people here to talk about it. So can you please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. I'm Jesper Karabanov. I'm a producer from Massive Entertainment. I've been working on The Division 2, Warlords of New York. I'm really excited to be here.
All right. Next.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chloe Amoud. I'm a world content manager on the expansion, The Division 2, Warlords of New York, and I work at Massive Entertainment Studio.
Hi, I'm Nick Skerr. I'm a producer at Ubisoft Leamington and Ubisoft Reflections in the UK, and I've been helping Massive out with the brand new expansion.
Thank you all for taking a few minutes to talk to us about Warlords of New York for The Division 2. So this is a new expansion that's coming, and you gave us a presentation. We got hands-on with it, and I'm very excited about it. I have like 10 million questions, so I kind of just want to jump into the narrative expansion of it. What is Warlords of New York? Why is this important to The Division 2?
I'm going to take this one then. Basically, the idea with the expansion, it was a really good opportunity for us to close the narrative arc where all started in New York with the release of the Green Poison. And Aaron Keener is back and he has one idea in mind, is to keep the state of chaos and anarchy in New York, but also in the United States. So it's important. The stakes are higher than ever and you have to stop him.
And that's it. Now, my question about New York, how that's going to be different compared to like the first one, like an environment, the level design and everything. So I'm going to go from there.
Basically, it's a brand new map. So brand new open world with completely different locations. We're taking landmarks that we're using for main missions, transforming them, adapting them to the faction's use, but also civilian use. And the rogue agents, now they are embedded in factions, so it's completely different. So completely new map under Fog of War, so players will have to explore and find their way. Without any constraint, they can tackle any challenges or mission, however they want or they like. So, and in terms of environment, a hurricane strike, so it's going to be flooded, overgrowth, but also oil spill, burnt areas, but also we are in New York, so of course the gritty back alleys, so we are keeping that vibe and authenticity for New York. So a good mix of interesting and appealing locations, original, but also authentic as well.
So speaking on that, so just to make sure I'm understanding correctly. So this is 8 months after the outbreak in Manhattan, and we're looking at four new zones.
Yes.
Inside of Manhattan, and we're going to have five missions and eight side missions.
Yes.
And the thing that I really want to touch on, like obviously you're bringing up Aaron Keener, but along with him, we now have these four other rogue agents, but they tie into the, like you tackle these agents and their skills that are involved as well. So can you talk about that?
Yep. Absolutely. There's, like you said, four rogue agent lieutenants
yes.
that are helping Aaron Keener. And they have their unique backstories and reasons why they're with him. But for me, the really cool thing with this is that we've given them each one unique new skill. And so you get to fight them in a new type of epic boss battles that
yes,
we've never
we
done
just
before.
Did that. It was right? really good. Yeah,
yeah really good.
And it's so nice when you as a player can learn those mechanics while they're being used against you.
Yeah.
And I really like when you then finally get to, you know, take them down and you walk over there
yeah.
and you just steal his skill from his body and you're like, hey, I have a new toy.
And you know what I immediately thought of when we were doing that? Because I'm forgetting the agent we fought his name exactly. But
Theo Parnell.
Thank you. And he's okay. doing the cloaking and he's going back around and forth and you get to take that skill at the end. First thing that popped in my head was Mega Man. I go, oh, this is Mega Man. When you defeat the boss, you get to take his skill.
Yep.
And now you get to use it in the world. So that's really cool. So again, getting into the actual game-changing improvements, I mean, there's just so many here. So let's just kind of start off with the RPG overhaul that's happening with the Division 2. I know State of Games talked about it a little bit, and you kind of went a little more in-depth here. So kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so one of the major changes we wanted to do was to change like the really the intricacy and the like how the gear work works at the RPG level and the stats. So we started looking at how the stats work on gear and weapon, and we removed the stat budget system that we had before and went back to something more similar to the Division 1's god rolls. And we, by doing that, you can like whenever you find a new piece of loot, you can see how valuable it is and if how good of a roll it is. And that way you can take that with you and go back to your base of operation and store the best parts of those loot in your new recalibration stat storing library, being able to use that on any of your future builds.
Right. So what you're saying is you're bringing in the importance of everything that drops in the world can be important to you. And there's going to potentially there's a unique stat inside of any weapon that drops in the game that you can add to your potential build.
Yeah, exactly. So with the new god rolls, it is so much easier for us to show you that this piece of loot is better for you here and here, you know? And really that makes it very easy to make all loot more meaningful for you.
I mean, the other thing as well is it's the perfect time to make this change because, you know, we have a brand new campaign to play through. We're increasing the power level, so you're going from 30 to 40, so you're going to be finding so much loot that's much more meaningful now for you as a player as you get new strength and skills as you're playing through this campaign.
Yeah, and I can even say just in my brief hands-on right now, you know, some things, some blues would drop, some greens would drop, and I was it was more simplified, which I think is the importance of this, that I'm like, oh, I can immediately identify, oh, that's better than what I got on already. Yeah, I better keep this because I could use this later. You know, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, you should be able to quickly see, like, this is something that I need and I'm excited about and I don't need to spend time comparing stats. The complexity is still there underneath. We're just making it a lot more readable and accessible for everyone.
Now, one thing I want to get to, sorry, I'll talk forever, is the build diversity. Because currently in a Division 2, I know I kind of talked to you a little briefly before this, one of my main complaints has been that there's no incentive for me to diversify my build. Basically, go with the highest damage I possibly can, and I can tackle anything in the game, and I'm going to be able to solve it, be it a raid, stronghold, or whatever the case may be. But I noticed you made an emphasis on build diversity as we go into Warlords of New York. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so one of the major changes is really the refactorization of our skill power system. So now, instead of being used as a sort of unlock criteria for your skills and skill mods, it's now flipped around to skill power. And so as a user, you'll easily be able to tell how good is my skill, right? And also for other players, when someone puts out the turret in front of you, you'll be able to read the skill power tier of that turret and be able to determine if you can sort of, maybe I can take a couple of hits or I should really look out for this one, right? And so we've changed how the skills work to make it more easy to understand how you build a skill build, right? It used to be possible, but it was, you had to be really deep down in it.
Yeah, really had to deep dive in there, absolutely.
And then we've changed around how the skill mods work as well to work more similar to weapon mods to be more intuitive. Yeah.
You know, one part that I love about the first game was global events. So during your presentation, when you announced that, I was like, oh man, they're back. Now I'm really going to get into this. So let's talk about that. How's that going to be different than the previous one? And also seasons, leagues. I know you want to talk a little bit about that.
Do you want to start, Nick?
Yeah. So, my studio has actually worked on these new global events. We're not going to go too much into the details of what they are today, but we can tell you in the first season, there's going to be three. And these are brand new mechanics for Division 2 Warlords of New York. So we're not using any of the pre-existing ones from Division. And they're just really cool. They certainly change the way the game plays. They have their own unique visuals and make the player either feel powerful or less powerful, depending on how the mechanics flip around. So we're really looking forward to seeing players tackle those.
See, I love using the clan feature. Are we going to see anything new from that too, now with the expansion or no?
We're not making any changes to clans. We're really proud of what we did so far, and you'll have your own clan space in a haven in New York City, so you never have to travel back to Washington. But yeah, we're really proud of clans as it stands at the moment, and we hope players will utilize that feature as they travel around in New York.
Yeah, so you mentioned a lot about New York. What about Washington, D.C.? Are there going to be any changes from there too, or is more New York City?
Absolutely. When the players finish the main campaign of Warlords of New York, going from 30 to 40 and, you know, going on that hunt for Aaron Keener, once they're finished with that, the end game really opens up and they'll be able to go anywhere they want all over New York, but obviously also in Washington, D.C. And there are some new interesting things to find in Washington, D.C. And one of the things that we're really excited about is the legendary difficulty.
So you're not going to elaborate on the legendary difficulty, are you? You're like, you'll find out. So let me throw this one at you then. The Dark Zone. So you mentioned that you're going to revitalize the Dark Zone. So can you kind of elaborate on that and tell me what people can expect with this Dark Zone 2.0, whatever you want to call it?
So we really wanted to bring back some of the experience of the first Division. And so to that end, we're putting a real emphasis on player-to-player interaction. We're making sure that all of the loot within the Dark Zone now has to be extracted. So currently, there are some items that you can just immediately take out. But we really wanted to get back to that core loop of finding the loot, taking it to the helicopter, and then wondering, is there someone here waiting to steal this? Oh, you know, you might be a player that likes stealing as well. But as well as that kind of player-to-player combat situation, we also want a bit of a cooperation. So if you see a downed agent and you go and decide to help them out, we're also going to reward those play stars as well.
Now, I don't know if you can talk about this right now, but is the player count going to rake? So it's still going to be the current three Dark Zone structure that we have.
Yes, we're talking about Washington, D.C. Yes.
So is the player count still going to stay at 12?
Yeah, we're keeping it as it is now. So the current systems are there, but we're focusing on simplifying the core gameplay loop. And as well, we're really keen to see what happens when people have access to the build diversity options.
Yes.
Just all the new gear and talents that we're adding and how that's going to play into the Dark Zone.
Well, yeah, because and I'm sorry to keep harping on the Dark Zone for a second. But again, this has probably been one of my big nitpicks over the past year is I feel I have zero incentive to go into the Dark Zone right now. And you mentioned having contaminated loot, but is there going to be loot that is specific to the Dark Zone? So it's going to really push people, like, you know, named items, things like that. That's going to push people to say, I got to go in there because I got to go get that thing. And I got to try and with my squad to get the hell out of there with.
I'd say there are two interesting changes that will make more people go to the Dark Zone outside of, you know, changing the mechanics.
Right.
But already in Tier 6, I don't know if you've been playing now lately, but we changed the matchmaking system to make sure that we get more players in there. And of course, we're adding new specific loot to the Dark Zone. There should be stuff in there that you cannot get any other way, right? And it should be rewarding.
Yes.
So we've filled the Dark Zone with cool stuff for you to get.
And I guess
and
I would
fight
just
for, right?
I would say that's just kind of my main thing. And again, I'm very excited that we're going back to New York and we're expanding upon the game. But I think just at its core, the biggest thing that I'm looking for is give, and this ties into the seasons and the, I guess there's a premium battle pass that's coming, things like that. But these ties into the things that I'm looking for as a player is what's my incentive to log in every day, every week, every month to go play the Division 2? Are there going to be new weapons? Is there going to be new gear, new brand sets, things like that, that I gotta go get that. I gotta have that. I need that carrot on the end of the stick to go chase. inside the game. So it sounds like with this expansion, that's what we can expect, a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of our end game. You know, once the map's opened up and you can freely travel between New York and DC, there were a lot of activities for our players there. And that was one of the main reasons we wanted to introduce seasons. So when a player logs in, they can quickly see, if I spend my time on this thing, these are the rewards I'm going to get. You know, the game's helping you out right. to try out all these amazing activities that we're adding into the game. So you feel rewarded for the time that you're spending in the world of The Division.
And we've really been working hard at adding a lot of extra new loot, right?
Yes.
So it's there's new exotics, yes. both for your gear pieces, but also your weapons. We reworked most of the old exotics. We reworked the old gear sets, and we added a whole bunch of new gear sets. There's new brand sets. There are new weapon types, and a bunch of new named weapons as well.
I know you when you mentioned about seasons. There's also like special campaigns throughout the season. That means that we'll go back to Washington D.C., New York. We'll see like new characters or new enemies, Black Tusk or what, like.
No, I think we can say that in the new mini campaign that comes in the season, it will take you around the entire universe of The Division 2. Okay, right?
So speaking on Black Tusk, since that just came up, I noticed we didn't have any mention of that in our presentation, but that just makes me think in New York, like one of the things that I like about Washington, D.C. is you have things like Tidal Base and you have the strongholds that you go attack. Can we expect some of that when we go to New York? Or is that...
talk about yet. What I can say is that Black Tusk is definitely still a threat.
Okay.
Because they have a huge influence now in Washington, D.C., but they are going to be also in the hunt for Aaron Keeter. This is what I can say. So it's still going to be a threat, and you'll still have to watch out and make sure you are the first one to track down Keener and reach him. So this is all I can say about that.
Okay.
I can mention one more little thing with the Black Tusk.
Okay.
They've also gotten some new reinforcements.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now we're talking. Okay.
So one other thing for me, and this kind of just goes back to the carrot on the end of the stick kind of thing. Yeah. Probably my favorite thing that I've done in Division 2 is that Chatterbox quest, because it was long form. It was monotonous. And sometimes I swear if I go in the underground for the hyena key one more time, I'd lose my mind. But that's the type of things that I like to see. That's kind of the in-game content after I've done all the regular activities, like, okay, here's something I individually can go chase after. And it's a unique weapon that when someone in the world sees me with it, they go, I know exactly what you went through to go get that weapon. So can we expect more of those type of things moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we want exotic weapons to feel earned. You know, they're very special and powerful pieces of gear, and you know, we do allow some of those to be added to the loot pool, but some of these new ones that you're going to see added, and you know, even starting with episode 3 coming soon, which has its own exotic weapon, there are going to be quests and things added you know, related to those. And so yeah, you'll feel that sense of achievement when you get them, and you know, seeing other players carrying those weapons around and thinking like, you know, I gotta get me one of those, how did you get it? And you know, the cool thing about that is seeing the community start to discuss, you know, I think I've done this towards it and that towards, and I think this might be a clue or a key. And it's really cool seeing the community put the pieces together to figure these things out.
Yeah, this expansion reminds me so much of 1.8 from the first Division. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that was what kind of started transforming the first one, absolutely. Yeah.
So how important was it to make all these changes for this expansion? Because there was a lot of feedback throughout the whole year since the release of the game.
I think it's It's a great question. And again, the Division is a live game, and we keep on learning throughout the community's feedback. It's really important for us to make these changes when we can, and the quickest way possible, and the better to improve the players' experience. We want them to have fun. We want them to really explore and not being frustrated. So we worked on all of these elements. We listened to the community's feedback a lot, to improve accessibility, onboarding, and tutorialization, improve all of these aspects to make sure everything comes together and create the best experience possible. So now we have a brand new expansion, new map, new activities, and new challenges. So all these improvements that the players are going to be able to tackle in the expansion are going to be able to be seen in Washington, D.C. as well. Even if you're not ready to jump into the expansion, then these improvements are going to be seen in your daily basis fights in Washington, D.C. as well.
Yeah, one more question for me. So why that location in New York City, Manhattan? Because you could have picked Central Park up north. You could have even gone to Brooklyn. You know, why south of like downtown in Manhattan? Why that area?
She's going to say, play the game and find it.
Because for us, we wanted to have a map that allow players autonomy and players flow. So we built this map with these considerations in mind, to have really iconic landmarks. And you have your Haven base of operation in the center. You'll be able to really wander into the map and tackle these challenges however you want without any constraint. So I think we found a really nice map for the players to explore. And again, transforming the space when we did a research trip there, and we were really inspired by what we saw, and we wanted to turn up the volume and transform the world as well with this environment. So I think, yeah, We ended up with a really interesting map filled with activities and challenges.
It just feels like being at home, right?
No, it's a perfect area too, because a lot of trains, subways, a lot of very poor locations in the city. So I live there in New York.
So I know we have to wrap this up right now, but one final thing for me. So the expansion comes out on March 3rd. It's going to be available to everyone, obviously, but you've made the decision that if, let's just say I'm a new player to the Division 2, I've never played it before, I can jump directly into Warlords of New York and I can quote unquote bypass everything that happened in Washington, D.C. From a narrative standpoint, is that explained to the new player when they jump in? Will they understand that here are the previous events that happened in a Division 2 and all right, you're starting from this point? And then can they actually go back to the original Washington, D.C. content after they finish Warlords of New York?
Okay, I think we can do a combined answer. jump in. but for again, when we started to work on the expansion, we had one idea in mind. Also, is to make sure everyone can jump in, and there is no barrier, there is no misunderstanding, or players feel excluded from the experience because they don't understand who these characters are or who these factions are. So the first few hours of the expansion, everything will going to be accessible and really tutorialized throughout. Okay, these factions they have weak points, for example, that type of detail that even players that haven't touched the Division for a while, they will know, okay, I remember I need to hit them here. And throughout the cinematics, cutscenes, collectibles, they'll be able to put all the pieces of the puzzle without feeling excluded. But for jumping back to Washington, D.C. and the level 30 boost, maybe you can.
I think the honest way is actually that all these new players, they will obviously, they choose to go to Warlords of New York to play that campaign. So they will start by doing that. But once they've completed that, Washington, D.C. is just as open for them to go back to as everyone else.
Okay. All right. Well, again, thank you for taking the time to talk to us about it. I didn't even bring up PvP and I should have brought it up, but I know we're out of time. But thank you for taking the time to talk to us about this. I mean, you know, have been being a player since day one, if I can even say it. I mean, I really loved how this game launched. It was a fantastic launch. I loved Black Tusk, end game, everything. And then, you know, it obviously, it is what it is. It kind of lost some steam along the way, but I look at this expansion, I look at the changes that you're making. It was hilarious. We literally talked about every change that you're making last night. Before you did it. And I go, oh my God, they're really listening to us because this is what we're looking for. You're diversifying the build. You're putting the loot in here. You're giving us things to chase. Yep. New world to explore. So I'm excited for it. So again, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks
a lot.
Thank you
very much.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. Paris, interview was good.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
A great conversation. Thanks to Massive and Ubisoft for giving us the opportunity. Great conversation. And they were smiling the whole time, man. Like, what I noticed was while we were playing, there was a lot of people just watching us from behind.
I was oblivious. I had no idea.
I was like turning around. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, I see a lot of people just, I think, and they even recorded our reaction while they were presenting the presentation about the expansion and everything. They know that we're huge fans of the game. They know.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, and that's no good. Secret. I think that's no secret that, you know, hey, I'm a fan of the game. I know the game. So it's like, I'm not sitting down to go, how do you do any of this? No. We picked up the sticks and we just went in and started playing. I don't need your help. Just, I don't want to play.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Just tell us which mission we can select.
Tell me what I could do. What's on embargo? I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think that came out in the conversation that we had with them that it was clear, you know, we were invested into the game and we knew what had been happening the past year with the game and why this expansion is so important to what they're doing. Look, I may or may not have had someone from Massive send me a DM after my little tweet, you know, knowing that I got to see it and wonder what I thought. So, I mean, that's good. It's okay to be a fan of a game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I don't hold any secret on that. And I may have some biases to it, but I would hope that people know that, you know, if the game deserves criticism, I'm going to criticize it.
And
so,
you have. Like, everybody has.
We all
do. Yeah, yeah. But it's not what you say is how you say it too.
Yeah,
now you're
exactly.
Like cursing and saying, you know, all these crazy things about the developers. Yeah. Like, okay, now it's extreme.
Yeah.
But if it's something like, I don't like this, but this is my reason why.
I'm saying that in the interview. I'm like, look, here's what I didn't like.
Yeah.
Here's how you're fixing it. I'm glad that you're fixing it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that's why feedback is super
important. Very key.
If it wasn't for the community sending feedback the right way, this expansion
does not happen.
It would have been different.
Yeah, it would have been
different.
Yeah.
So, anything else before we wrap it up, man? Like,
no. I mean, I'm looking forward to March. You know, when it drops, definitely be jumping in day one to play it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see how it goes.
And actually, we also got a capture footage from our session. So you're gonna see like my camera view, and Paris has his. So it's gonna be good. It's really, really good. Yeah. So it was exciting times, man. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio, episode 1001. And until next time, we're out. Take care. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.